Mick Foley is scheduled to join me here in just a second. Oh, we have him. All right. Very excited to welcome Mick Foley to the show. Former professional wrestler, a multi-time best-selling author, and now a stand-up comedian. And he's on because he's going to be right here in town tomorrow night at Cobb's Comedy Club, and then Friday at the San Jose Improv. Hey, Mick, when people look at you, your first reaction is still mostly from what? The wrestling part, the comedian part? What? It's mostly for the wrestler stuff, right?
I'd say it's a period of pornography I did in the late 80s. So that comes first in people's eyes, and then the wrestling.
Where were you between Ron Jeremy and John Holmes? Where were you probably in between the scope of those guys?
Oh, Holmes first? Jeez, I was finding like garbage left by people on the railroad tracks when I was like 13, so that was 35 years ago. So that goes back a ways. So you had to really, back then people had to make a commitment. I mean, these were people actually like bought things, you know, beer, whatnot, and then went up and had a party, and they left behind their magazines, and that's how I learned about pornography, by looking at old abandoned magazines.
Well, we have something in common. We were both born in June of 65.
Nice.
Yeah, so I knew that we would get along swimmingly. When was it, Mick, when you figured out that you were funny enough to go on stage? Because, you know, every guy kind of thinks they're kind of funny. When did you think, hey, I can get paid doing this?
Oh, man, there's a great line about the difference between a funny guy and a comic. A funny guy goes on stage, bombs, and never sets foot again on stage. A comic goes on stage, bombs, is back 10 minutes later wearing a different hat, talking about how bad the guy before him was. it's really tough. You go out there, and everyone goes through that experience where you just wish there's a giant hole in the ground to suck you in. You know what? I had an easy segue from doing my first book in 1999 to doing colleges. So you could just walk out there and not really have a plan, and just, you know, have some stories and make it mildly educational. And I found I enjoyed I gravitated towards the funny stories. So when I decided to give comedy or, you know, storytelling a more serious attempt, I had to tighten things and, you know, find ways to make them funny. Stories that seemed just fine, like in written form, you know, it got chuckles but not laughs. And so you have to try to find the laughs in that material and in new stories as well.
Very good. You know, I'm looking at the list of some of the places that you did your comedy, and I love the MIT thing. Did you resist the nerd jokes, or did you go right after it?
Well, I didn't do comedy there. I did a lecture.
A lecture?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I did. I had the credentials to do it, which is cool. You know, it doesn't mean I didn't make the talk funny. I didn't go up there and go, hey, what's all these nerds here? Like,
Well, you know, also I know you've gone to Edinburgh, Scotland, and I got to say, you look like a Scottish dude with the hair and the beard. Now, did people come up to you and go and just think that you were a Scot?
No. not that I know of, you know. Maybe they're pointing me on my back. See, one of us, hey. The great thing about Scotland was, you know, when I first went over there, and now I really find that I try to work my way around, like, late night Fridays and Saturdays, because, my show is one people really do and should listen to, you know. It's not, like, in-your-face jokes. It's stories. It's some nuances, some subtleties, and they kind of get lost on more drunken crowds. But the nice thing is, if you're going to get heckled or have somebody talking to you, you know, while you're trying to do your set, you might as well be like in a glass cup. If you just turn to the guy who's heckling me, I say, I can't understand a word you're saying. With the deep accent, I'm drinking like that. I can't understand a word you're saying.
Dude, whatever. We're speaking with Mick Foley stand-up comic now, of course, a longtime wrestler. And I love, and I know people bring this up, but it's just too juicy not to mention. It's good radio. Your high school wrestling team there at West Melville, you wrestled with Kevin James. Of course, we know him, the King of Queens, Paul Blart. Were you guys buds?
Yeah, we were. But if one person, and this is a guy named John McNulty, saw me sitting on the bleachers, and he knew I was going out for winter track to get in shape for my real sport, which was lacrosse. I was a good goalie in lacrosse, as strange as that sounds. And he said, "Hey, winter track, huh?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Hey, you're probably the slowest guy in the school," which was true, like even that, even before knee surgeries and considerable weight gain. And I got a point. He goes, "Why don't you wrestle?" Like, he knew that my brother was a wrestler. My dad was the athletic director. I'd grown up around wrestling. And he goes, "That'll get you in better shape than the track will." And I said, "Yeah." I just walked downstairs to the wrestling room. If on the way downstairs someone had said, "You're wrestling? Like, you know Kevin James is a heavyweight," I would have been back up on that track, track field. Because Kevin was a tough dude, and then, you know, you get to know your opponent really well. But after I went downstairs and wrestled every day with Kevin James and did well, the rest of life seemed suddenly to be fairly easy. Yeah, that was like without that experience down there in that wrestling room, hanging with him every day, no way I would have thought, "Hey, let me try this pro stuff now."
Very good. A couple more questions for Mick Foley. And I played college lacrosse. I was a crease defender, so I had the 5-foot long stick. Now, I had one goalie, because I'm asking this because you said you were a goalie. I had one goalie who told me, "Rick, I love you right there. Get guys out of my crease." And I had another goalie who kept telling me, "I can't see. Get out of my way. Get out of my way." Which guy were you? Were you the guy that's like, "Hey, stand right there. I love you there." Or were you like, "Get the hell out of my way"?
I want to be able to see. So I was very active, with my calls where the ball was. You want to be able to see. And I was blessed to have a great defenseman. One guy in front of me is a three-time, especially a three-time WWE champion, three-time All-American at North Carolina.
Wow.
Another guy played at Hartford, and the other guy was just a good, played some college ball as well. Where did you play at?
St. Mary's College. It's a small Division II school out this away.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this too, Mick, because I'm looking at your schedule here. I mentioned Cobbs tomorrow here in North Beach, and then the San Jose Improv South Bay on Friday. Last night you were in Reno, and 2 days before that in Portland. Day before that you were up in the Seattle area. So is it a grind? I mean, obviously you're not, digging ditches, but is this a little bit of a grind? What was going on at the Silver Legacy last night?
Oh, man. The Silver Legacy, you need one of those shows every once in a while, again, just to bring you down to earth and to give you material because, Seattle was great. We were sold out in Seattle. We sold out a month in advance in Portland, and then there's ticket counts. Okay, how are we looking in Reno? And my publicist says, 9. I said, 9, like single digits. I check again like a week out, 22. And I realized like it didn't make sense to spend more money advertising it because, the way the contract was structured, like I was going to make, unless I could get like over 150, then I could start making some money beyond my minimum. And I just decided that was one we were going to take for the team with the with the goal of making Reno the show we would talk about for the rest of the tour.
All right.
And then it turned out they filled out pretty, filled pretty good. So we had like about 130 people. But it was a way to stop and do a show and work out some stuff. Otherwise, the ride from Portland to San Francisco was just like 17 hours or whatever.
Oh, you're going in the you're in the tour van then?
Yeah, we got the little what's that? Yeah, got the little SUV going.
Nice. All right.
Got a ticket yesterday.
Where'd you get a ticket?
Somewhere in Northern California. the guy's just intent on giving us a ticket. When you pull the wrestling card and the policeman's benevolent card, when you're figuratively pulling the wrestling card, literally pulling the PBA card, and the other guy in the car is Australian, and you can't get out of that ticket. You know, it's an unjust world we're living in.
All right, hey, listen, man, I wish we had more time. We got to run to a net break here. Mick Foley, check him out at Cobb's tomorrow, San Jose Improv Friday. Hey, Mick, we'd love to have you on again when we have more time, or come on by the studio next time, buddy.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks a lot. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on, man.